Happy hashtag Mueller Monday. Yes.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Welcome back, everyone. It is hashtag Mueller Monday here on Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast streaming live on digital stream radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing, crazy, bitchy co-host, who she's dying to get a word in right now, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick. Or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Don't go there.
I just want to double check. We were recording that beginning section.
Yes, yeah? We were. Okay. We're still recording.
You sure?
Okay. Oh, are we streaming live?
Yes.
Alex going to get a. Are we streaming live? Text Bijan. Let's go.
We are. All right. Anyway, so before we get started, I'd like to welcome to the show Bijan Clark. He is a great friend of Nick's, and he is today's guest co-host for the entire show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, guys. Very excited.
Just make sure that when you talk...
Oh, am I good now?
There you
right
go.
Here. Project. So, I know should that go into natural
straight,
theater.
I know that you're straight and all, but just talk right into okay, it. Like right. I always say, like if you're
cup
sucking...
The balls, oh, cup the balls.
Yeah, cup the balls.
Hey, there you go.
Is there makeup on your mic? There looks like there's some makeup
yeah,
on your
who's
mic.
Who was here before me?
Trish. A drag queen.
It might have been a drag queen, or I might have used it once or twice. I don't know. And it's not makeup, it's Bondo. By the way, funny story.
Tell me.
This weekend, I've been waiting for my Bondo to come in the mail because I ran out of Bondo. Because
remember, you got to put that kit in the bathroom.
Yeah, I know.
When you stay here on Mondays.
So I was like, Pat, did a package arrive today or yesterday or
don't
anything?
Tell me he used it.
And he was like, no, I haven't seen anything. Why? Because you seem a little concerned. I was like, well, I'm almost out of my my tinted, in quotes, moisturizer, and I really need it because I can't go out without my face on. So okay, I guess that wasn't well, really that funny.
Yeah, story. That wasn't a good story at
all,
actually.
I found $5. It's been a while since I found $5. So hey.
I'm proud of you, though. I'm really proud of you.
Give that man a cookie.
But make sure that you get that Bondo kit in here ASAP. I need you to stay over on Monday. Seriously. I need you in my life.
Girl, I got to work on Tuesday. I need my own bed. Hello.
You love my bed. My guest room bed is fucking comfortable. Tell me it's not.
I tried to take your mattress and you wouldn't let me.
No, I know. See? But that means you have to stay here.
Whatever happened to the Lisa mattress? Wasn't that what we were going to get?
No.
The purple?
I was looking into the purple, but I was like, what? It's like, I still have a furnace to replace. I still have a water heater to replace. I'm not going to drop $1,000 on a mattress yet. Hashtag purple mattress. If you want to send me one, I'll review it for you.
Hashtag gay talk credit card.
Hello. No, they can send that shit over for free.
Okay.
I'll review it for them. I'll throw it on the floor. We can all fuck on it.
Gross. Come on.
I'm just saying.
Come
anyway.
On.
Anyway, why don't we start with our cocktail, Christopher? Why are we doing this cocktail?
Because Trish is dirty. She's nasty.
Shirley.
Oh my
Shirley.
God.
Yes, indeed.
Stop calling me Shirley.
I'm literally going to cut him. Like, Chris is not going to make it through this episode, and I'm sorry for all of our listeners that love him. He will not be making it through.
Come at me, bro.
Girl, you don't even got shit on me. Let's go.
I had that Bruce Lee one. I was ready for you. I was like, come on.
You're already basically broken. Your entire body's bruised.
I really think I should see a medical professional for that, bite or some kind of bruise on my leg, because I didn't fall.
It's a bug bite.
Yeah, it's a spider bite.
And I'm probably going to die.
Just pour some bourbon on it.
Yeah, that's why I tried that.
Put some Windex
on it. It's the first thing I did. Are you kidding me?
There's enough bourbon
in
that.
Pour some bourbon on it.
There's enough bourbon in that boy's veins. He doesn't need to pour anything on anything.
No,
this
he'll be
is
fine.
True.
I mean, he's automatically disinfected. He's like one of those, like, no matter what bites him, they'll die.
You guys make me sound
dies.
Like a gross human being.
No, you're an amazing human being. You just...
I didn't say I was a bad person. Just make me sound gross.
On alcohol. There's nothing wrong with that.
That spider's wasted right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That spider is walking on one crooked leg.
That thing's fucked up. That was his fault. He shouldn't have bit me. I go with him. It's like when a bee stings, you know?
Well, if a bee stings you, honey, that bee's not going to see the light of day.
Neither did that spider. Mm. So, we're one.
On that note, let's talk about Dirty Shirley here.
Shirley! Dirty Shirley! That's our cocktail.
Yes.
Today we are doing a Dirty Shirley.
And why are we doing a Dirty Shirley?
Because all that dirty shit was coming out on CNN today.
Oh, there's a lot of
dirt. Just pouring in. I was like, this is dirty.
So much dirt coming out.
I know. I love it. I mean, sad. It really is sad that it's gotten to that point, but I loved it. I love seeing it. They're all just more to come. More to come, too. But yeah, let me say the cocktail. So Dirty Shirley. It's a simple one. It's a Shirley Temple with some vodka in it. So you do some vodka, some grenadine, which is, fun fact, pomegranate syrup. It is not cherry juice. Pomegranate syrup. And then ginger ale.
Or
if Shirley Temple does not get Sprite, that is a Tom mix. That is my input on that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if you mix a little bit of Sprite, you get my mix.
There it is.
Exactly.
First of all, I will have to say that 95% of the people out there want Sprite and not ginger ale, you
false.
Little dick.
Yeah, because
false. Nobody wants Sprite in their Shirley Temple. It is ginger ale.
Okay, well, let's take a poll to our listeners. If you would rather Sprite in your Shirley Temple, please email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. If you would rather ginger ale, please email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And it's a dirty Shirley, not a Shirley Temple.
Dirty
Otherwise,
Shirley.
There would be no...
I fucked that up. I'm
you
sorry.
Did.
I
know. You did.
We tried.
Are you proud of yourself?
I'm really going to fucking cut her.
All right, move the shit on.
All right, listen, before we continue and go into our stories, because there's a lot to cover, we've got Bijan here with us. He's going to talk about a couple of things that he's got coming down the line as well. We have to just give you a quick message from our sponsors. So here we go.
Woo!
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Studio Sweden. If you're looking for an affordable headset with amazing sound quality, style, and comfort, head on over to studiosweden.com and take a look at the selection of headsets available. With an amazing variety, you are sure to find one that suits your style and needs. Use discount code GAYTALK2.0 for 15% off your entire order, and remember, it's free shipping worldwide. studiosweden.com. Now back to the show.
All right, my people, do not forget, it is still October, at least for another day. They are doing a breast cancer awareness drive. So if you go on their website, studiosweden.com, and buy any of their pink products, money gets donated to the Breast Cancer Foundation. So,
and they're literally pink. Like, it's kind of awesome.
And they're awesome. Absolutely. Yeah. Anything that's colorful, especially pink or rainbow, mm-hmm. is up your alley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tom won't let me paint the studio rainbow, but that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely need to talk about that one. I might have some rainbows and frames and stuff like that.
But he did say I could get some unicorn decals, so we're okay.
Maybe one unicorn decal somewhere. We have Dookie in the house with us.
I know, I don't
We
want
love
anything.
Dookie.
Did you see that unicorn, not unicornbooty.com, Squatty Potty has a new mascot? It's like a little dragon.
It's a little dragon that spits out, like, you know, rainbow colored shit.
So, Linda, if you're listening, we're going to need one of those.
Yeah, and, I know, right?
And can you guys send me one of the travel squatty potties? Because I'm going to Canada in January, and I got to take one with me. I will not shit on my carry-on suitcase any longer. I want a proper squatty potty.
Let's rephrase.
I don't poop on my suitcase.
Yeah, okay, so you don't want to use it as your squatty
potty. As my squatty potty, exactly. Yeah. I want the official travel squatty potty.
So, Bobby Edwards, the CEO of Squatty Potty, make it happen. Darling, you've been on our show. Give the man what he needs.
Please.
He wants to take a good poop so he can just keep promoting for you. It's amazing.
He grew a mustache. Did you guys see that?
Yes, he did. Because they put out a video because they were doing a contest.
Not a contest.
They were doing a drive.
They were doing a fundraiser. Yeah, for cancer.
And and he was actually in the video. And when he started talking, I started looking at him. I was like, who is that? Looks like 80s porn star.
It is such a porn stash. It's such a Bobby Edwards. Like, we love you. And you know that. I liked him clean shaven better.
Yeah, but no.
But he's
don't
not mine.
Wrong.
He's a married man now. So
yes, he is. He is
like
a married man.
Like that's ever stopped any of us.
Never oh, I thought you were going to direct that at me. I was like, I beg your pardon.
Total mess.
I've never had sex with a married person.
Total
right?
mess.
No, I haven't.
No. Did you? Have you not? Seriously?
I haven't.
Let me double check my little black book.
They weren't technically married.
All right, let's just. I can't. All right, so let's start.
Or it's like a marriage license in another country or something like that. That's what it was. I'm kidding. I'm making all that up. I never had sex with a married person.
In 26 countries? You remember that couple that got married?
No, that was their plan. They started this month. I think they began in October. They're going to get married. A lesbian couple is going to get married in every country that offers same-sex marriage.
So we should do a follow-up on that story, and I want you to look at it.
You got it, dude.
Do it. All right, so let's talk about some of our stories. I want to kick it off with a bride that ran over the priest who presided over her wedding with her car after the groom slept with him. And I was like, whoa. So she's a 27-year-old woman from Michigan. She is accused of intentionally running over the Catholic priest with her car after the cleric allegedly had sex with her boyfriend only hours before the wedding ceremony. I was like, wow.
First of all, I don't think that she should be in trouble at all because I do the same fucking thing.
But you wouldn't use a car, though.
I but use a car, exactly, and then I get out and use a bat.
No,
that's exactly how I
think you
pictured.
Would probably go get one of those like big like bulldozers and like run him over and run him over again and then one more time and then hit reverse and maybe sideways. You can slide, do the electric slide and all that good stuff. Then you would get out your car and hit him with a goddamn fucking claw.
You're still
and
breathing.
Then hit the bat.
Not anymore.
But this is exactly how this picture is exactly how I picture Trish's mugshot. Like fucking eyeliner pouring down in her white dress.
She's crying.
I'm pulling it up right now. And yes,
that, exactly.
She has her little tiara on and it's a little crooked. And the hair's a little out of place.
And you could tell she was ugly crying for a while, and that shit smeared down. That's exactly how I'd picture
it. So apparently this young woman is from a small town called Lorium. It's near the Canadian border.
Canada.
Yeah, Canada. So was supposed to get married to the man who had shared her life for at least 12 years, William
Martins.
Shared
it with a priest.
Mm-hmm, sure did.
Probably shared it with a lot of
you
other
know,
people,
he was
too.
On his knees praying hard. But, you know, less than 2 hours before the ceremony, Mr. Orwell decided to stop by the presbytery to talk about some last-minute changes to Father David O'Connell, who is the priest who was supposed to perform the ceremony. So this is all allegedly. Again, you know, I cannot confirm this.
Fake news.
I just saw it on my feed, and I was like, holy shit.
Wait, so she walked in on her boyfriend fucking a priest?
I do not know how she found out, but it says here, according to eyewitnesses, the 32-year-old Daryl Myers, which is the eyewitness, the young woman went completely berserk and ran back to her car while screaming frenetically. I saw her running towards her car. This is what he's saying, quote, in her gown, and she was screaming, swearing, and pulling her hair. She kept repeating, God punishes sodomites, or something like that. But, okay, under certain circumstances, I would be like, all right, this woman just, you know, she's anti-gay, et cetera, whatever. It's fucking, this is justified. I mean, you were about to...
I don't think we want to
go ahead. I don't. On my behalf, no. I don't want to say that running over someone with your car is acceptable.
No. What I'm saying is justified is her comment, God punishes sodomites.
No, I disagree. Wrong. Okay,
but
understand her anger, but no, this is not
anger, and I don't. You have done many things under anger and then regretted it later.
Yeah, well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that what she said, yes, she was angry, and... it came out of her mouth, but God doesn't punish sodomites like that.
Well, we know that because you take it up the ass 24/7, but that's okay. What I'm saying is that under that amount of duress, I mean, you literally spent, according to this report, what, 12 years with this man, and then you find out that he's sleeping with the priest who's supposed to marry you? I would fucking go berserk. I would call you all kinds of anti-gay slurs, anti-everything slurs. If I were to find out that my partner of 12 years is cheating on me with the very same priest that's supposed to unite us for life, I would lose my shit.
But what if they were cheating on with like a black man? Is that acceptable to just start throwing racial slurs?
Well, listen, to each his own.
No, it's not acceptable.
To each his own.
I pretty much don't want to agree with anything Trish says today, but... I'll give you that one.
Oh,
Trish.
Fuck her too.
Yeah, she's nasty.
Anyway, but I thought it was funny. I thought that, you know what? Good for her. It's sad. You know, I wouldn't even, if I were the police department that's trying to arrest her, I would just let her go. Plead insanity. You'll be fine. Seriously.
Temporary insanity.
Just plead the Trish. You'll be good.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize he was dead until I was washing the blood off my hands. It's just, I blacked out. What can I say?
It's a sad situation. But again, you know, going on the serious.
But no, actually, let me ask Bijan.
Bijan.
What would Alex do in that situation? So Bijan recently just got married.
Minus the sodomites thing, she'd definitely go into the car and try to plow over whoever I was, apparently.
Exactly.
So you're using the word plow. Do you know that we hold that word with reverence?
We know who the top is. Yeah, it's Bichon.
She might have done it a little more personal, though, like, you know, with a kitchen knife a little closer up.
And, yeah.
So you can, like, look into the eyes the whole
the
time. Really take
too,
it in.
Disassociative.
Agreed. You know? Agreed. Psycho, look at what you did.
Very psycho, very
love
Norman
you, honey.
Bates.
Just kidding.
I don't think I like where this conversation is going. This is starting to make me very uncomfortable, as a matter of fact.
My God, if I was
going
to do that with somebody, it wouldn't be the priest of all people who's going to marry me. Yeah, it'd be some other side piece that nobody knew about. Exactly. You know?
Well, actually, at your wedding, it probably would have been. It would have been the justice of the peace.
Yeah,
yes, it
totally
would have been.
Yeah.
Somebody would have need to keep the peace.
I'm sorry, but his
he slept over the night before, too, so it was even in the clear.
So you know what? Bichon, my apologies. You come on the show. I mentioned who you are. We welcome you to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself before we keep going on the show?
Okay.
Tell us who you are, where you're from, what do you do?
I'm here because I was college roommates with Nick.
I'm sorry.
Poor thing.
Oh, no. We had a great time.
I'm sure.
He would clean, yell at us when it was dirty. I've basically replaced him with my wife now.
Was he on
cycle
his
rinse, repeat.
Was he on his knees the whole time?
Oh, of course. Oh, screaming
girl,
and drinking the whole night through.
Yeah.
That's but,
yeah.
Nothing's changed.
Right.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
When you guys had Scott on, I saw it on his Facebook, and I was like, oh my God, Nick's got a...
Anaconda.
Doing... Yes.
Anaconda. Oh, that guy. I was like, who's...
Yeah, the jury's still out on that one. I think we're going to have to... Scott, if you're listening, you're going to have to come show the boys next time.
All right? I agree.
Are we talking about his penis?
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
I'll take it.
Wake up, Chris.
I'm tired.
So I started listening to the show through that when I saw he posted it, and I was like, first off, I was amazed because I've told Nick this, but in college, he was like, he did not want to have, like, anything to do with, like, he would see other gay guys and be like, oh, that bitch, and, like, just not want to hang out with, like, he hung out with all the straight guys that, like,
oh,
were our
truth
roommates.
Truth comes out.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm very proud of him, and I'm very happy that he has you guys as great friends. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Aww. I think it's really funny, though, at his wedding, his now wife was like, oh, this is Nick. This is the one that has the gay podcast. Yeah. That's why you're always listening to the gay podcast. Thank God, he's your friend.
She was worried for a little bit.
I guess. It's weird. You know, people are like, why are you listening to a gay podcast? I'm like, well, my old roommates. And they're entertaining as fuck. You should check it out.
I'll take it.
But
you're also pretty, like, liberal.
I am. I try to, accept everybody for who I am. It was passed down from my grandfather, who was actually one of the first. He marched with Martin Luther King in the Million Man March. I'm very, very proud to say. And he shook his hand, too. He was on the flight over, and he was a big equal rights activist. So he would when he was on the plane over, and he saw, you know, he had basically with the church he was with had brought everyone to the parade, and so he was like one of the leaders of the group. And so when he saw him, he said, oh, hey, I'm, you know, Jack Clark, I, you know, organized this section and blah blah blah. And he said, you know, he shook his hand, and whenever he would introduce himself to somebody, he'd shake their hand, and he'd say, now you can say, you shook the hand who shook Martin Luther King.
So, if you don't mind me asking, can I ask, where's your family from?
Well, half is Irish, that's the my grandfather's side, and the other half's Iranian. I'm Bichon Clark, which is the Irish side, Bichon's the Iranian side, so,
okay.
You know, dual blood, best of both worlds, I like to say.
So if you don't mind me asking, you've got the best of both worlds. You're Irish, they drink like crazy, and then you've got the Iranian side of your family.
They just aren't crazy.
Yeah.
And crazy.
Well, there it is.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think about their position on the LGBT community?
Well, Iran, unfortunately, as a country, is the opposite of progressive for LGBTQ, right?
Trust me, I had a hard time with that for the first, like, 20 episodes.
It was amusing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it very much.
It's unfortunate, and that's what happens when you get a government that is so enraptured with religion. You know, there's no separation of church and state there, so you have people that...
Church is their state.
Yeah, exactly. It's all one giant clusterfuck.
have you visited Iran?
I have, yeah. I'm actually, what's kind of annoying with, you know, our orange shit gibbon, as you guys like to call him.
Yes. Now you really know he really is a listener.
Yes, that's a very good point.
I want to go back this summer, and my poor wife is like, you can't go. What's going to happen if he does something stupid? You know, what if you get stuck there? And
that's true.
Yeah, it's just, you know, for me, unfortunately, as being someone of Iranian descent, it's like that's something that's been going on like forever. With George W. Bush, we had the same issue.
Yeah. Especially after 9/11.
Yeah, oh, totally. And, you know, constantly being pegged, you know, oh, they're terrorists. They're all just terrorists. And they're all, you know, and it's so unfortunate because when you go over there, they're like just so... Iranians are extremists, and one of the best ways I've ever explained it is, like, they're extremely hospitable, but, like, they're also extremely, like, don't fuck with me if you're gonna fuck with me, you know? Like, so they're crazy hospitable. Like, when you go over there, they're, like, so welcoming, and, like, anytime you engage or talk with anyone, they'll bring you in, they'll, like, give you tea, they'll talk to you, and, like, they're, like, there's this thing called taaruf, which is, like, it's, like, the Iranian extreme version of hospitality. It's, like, anywhere we would go... someone would open a door for me. And like, at some point I'd just be like, all right, I'm walking through the fucking door, because you'd have to be like, no, you go in. And then he'd be like, no, you have to go in. Like, please, you must go in. You must. And I'd be like, no, like, I got the door. You can go in. It's like, no, on my father's name, you must go in. It's like, oh, fine. I'm walking through
the door. It's like, someone go in the fucking door. Yeah, you like,
if you open the door, I'm sashaying in.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
At this point.
But, now, sorry, how would it be? So, what would I ever be able to go visit there?
No.
Yeah, no, you could. You totally could. And it's not like there aren't, you know, homosexuals there. They're living there. It's just that they're, you know, they're not allowed to really be
out and guess.
Not out flamboyant. About it. I mean, I can't really speak too much upon it because I only see it from a very limited perspective. And I only see it from the like two or three times that I've been there. So I can't really talk about how it is or what, you know, what it's like, but you know, I have an uncle who is homosexual, and like, he's not really my uncle, but like, he's so in our family that I call him my uncle. And you met him, right?
Yeah,
at the wedding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, so he, you know, he's out and he's openly homosexual, but you know, every once in a while he'll get thrown in jail because he's out screaming about the government, you know, like,
and that would be Trish.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, that does exist. It's just, it's a whole nother level of like, you know, you really have to be careful, and you really have to, it's not open, and you can't have this freedom of speech that
like you
do here, which makes America awesome and great. But again, you still have those people. And actually, Iran, even for being as, you know, backwards as they say, is one of the most progressive for transsexuals who are
really
a lot of people don't know that, but if you go through the surgery and are considered transition to a female, then you're not considered gay anymore, and you're openly accepted as a woman, and it's totally like fine. So in a lot of ways, and this is what most Americans don't understand, is in some ways they're more progressive than the United States, where like,
I'm completely shocked.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I really want to do some research on that.
Yeah.
That would be amazing to corroborate. Not that I'm saying that you're lying or anything, but we have an entire segment lined up for next month, and where we are talking about trans awareness, and we're talking about Trans Awareness Week, which happens, I believe, the second week of November, or
the third.
But, you know, we're going to be doing something all month. We're having transgender folks, women come on the show, and an artist come on the show and talk about their experiences, their art, their life, you know, journey.
Great.
It's going to be an amazing thing. So, I mean, I would definitely be interested in finding out more information about
that. Definitely. I mean,
if you can shoot anything our way, being that, you know, you have that access.
Yeah, totally. I'll
I would
you
definitely appreciate it.
But yeah, it's always caught me off guard. So I was like, oh, all right. They're so good with their, you know, it's nose jobs and sex jobs, you know.
well.
Nose jobs and sex jobs. Okay.
That almost sounds like that needs to be a gay talk term.
Nose jobs
and sex jobs. And sex jobs, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
it's a beautiful country, and it's really unfortunate that, you know, since we've got dumbass Trump in office, that it's like relations have just taken a backtrack.
And I feel like I would be more afraid to be in Iran being American rather than being gay. Like, that's what I would think that the second people found out that I was American, that I would be a target.
And that's something that, like, a lot of people think. But, like I said, my father is Irish-American, 6'3", white as can be. And when anytime we go, it's, like, everywhere people are like, oh, my God, you're American? And they just totally accept him and want to ask him questions. And, like again, welcome into, like, that's where it sucks, because there's really the only people that don't like Americans are that, like, not even 1% that are in control of the government.
And the media portrays Iran as being an anti-American nation.
Yeah, and it's
nation.
Not the case at all. It's not the case at all. Everywhere. I've been to more places in Iran than most Iranians have, because when we've gone, you know, my grandma still lives there. So whenever we go, we take, like, road trips around the country. So.
What do you call grandma in your language?
Just Parveen. That's her name. She didn't ever want to. Normally, it'd be, like, Mama Bozorg, which is, like, Big Mama.
But, yeah!
Big Mama. But, no, you don't want to call her Big Mama. She'll cut you.
Yeah, she never liked that. She just wanted me to call her Parveen. So
is there, what's the word for mother?
Mother.
Mother. It sounds like very French.
It's a little bit. What's funny about a Farsi is that they'll, like, take different. They'll, like, take from all different languages. So, like, most of the time when you say, like, thank you, you'll say merci, which is
French.
French. You know? Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, it works.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, anyway, thank you for sharing that amazing information with us.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. Was really interesting, actually. Shocked. I didn't expect that to take that turn. I appreciate that.
And again, you know, for being with us on the show, it's amazing. Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
Yeah,
we need a little bit of diversity on our show.
Yeah,
I
mean, right.
You guys
gotta get the brown
today.
People in.
Well, I am a brown person.
Yes, you are. Yeah,
brownish.
A little bit brownish.
That's all right. We'll take it.
Yeah, I get golden bronze in the summer.
I haven't baked as much as I should. Let's just say.
But you've baked at like 250, 300 tops. Like it's not enough to get a crust.
Exactly. I stay out of the sun. The reason why is I always say this, and remember this, guys. Raise today, raisins tomorrow. At my age, my skin is still good.
No more raise today, please. No raise today.
Ooh.
No more. Oh.
Listen, you're fabulous.
Did I miss something? Okay. So anyway, so Bichon, thank you. Thank you. Seriously. Thank you for being with us, and you know. Damn, you need to bring this kid on the show.
anytime, right down the road.
So yeah. Anyway, so we've got other stories to discuss. Who wants to go next?
I mean, like, I can talk
a little bit.
Do we want to? What? How should we take a break first? Or
I want
I
a cigarette,
go?
So I vote yes. But
you
this isn't a democracy.
Down?
All right, fine. I'll just talk about this really quick.
Bitch, I am not Trump.
What?
She says this isn't a democracy. I was like, okay, whatever. All right, why don't you just do your story really quick, and then we'll move into a break, come back. Christopher can keep going. Bijan's got some stuff that he wants to talk about as well. I'm super excited to hear that, too.
Well, since we're the queens of segues, I'm actually going to skip what you think I'm going to talk about and move on to the fact that a federal judge...
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Blocked Trump's enforcement of the transgender military ban. Now,
it's
this
about time.
Part of it.
No, part of it. So it's a partial block, obviously, because they're still kind of going through the whole thing and trying to figure out what this ban actually is. But this federal judge on today partially blocked the enforcement of key provisions of President Donald Trump's memorandum banning transgender people serving in the military. So Judge Colleen Coller Cautley.
Why can't we just call him idiot in chief?
That's fine.
Okay, fine. Thank
but
you.
Judge Colleen, she gets claps. Provisions of the memorandum concerning the enlistment and retention of transgender military service members. And she said, although this ruling is very preliminary, oh no, this wasn't her, but although this ruling is very preliminary, it's significant in two respects.
How so?
First, it is based on the judge's conclusion that the Constitution in some way limits the government's ability to discriminate against transgender individuals, which is huge.
It's amazing.
And second, it once again recognizes that the president's words and tweets have consequences, especially when these words are turned into official policy.
Mm-hmm. Well, they show intent. You know, because the president can sit there and write executive orders and say, this is what the executive orders meant to say. But when you start tweeting to the contrary,
well, the biggest thing
you bring that inflection of that tweet into your ban.
Right. Well, and one of the biggest things here is like when he tweeted this out, No one fucking expected
the
it.
The generals had no idea.
There was no conversation about transgender people in the military right. at all. And then all of a sudden this tweet comes out, and then all of a sudden the community is being berated and attacked by Trump and his administrations. For what reason?
I still think that was a deflection. The shit that's happening with Russia and that investigation right now, it's like he's throwing shit out just to, yeah, we're going to do this.
Did you guys see the impeachment commercials?
I love them.
No.
I've seen impeachment commercials on national television.
I love it.
Impeachment commercials.
Is it Peach Snapple?
Oh. Diet Snapple.
And then when you pop the top open, it says, bye-bye.
I just couldn't believe it.
Fun fact, he said goodbye.
Well, I'm just saying that this judge did the right thing, and I'm glad that...
I agree.
Yeah, like you were saying, you know, yeah, it is all a smokescreen for what's going on with the Russia investigation, but we can't forget or lose sight of what's going on because it's actually still happening. So the fact that this judge stood up and partially blocked it is a huge step.
It's a step in the right direction.
I don't think that it's these things are trying to cover up the Russia investigation. This is the work of the Vice President of the United States of America, who wants no rights for LGBT people. He believes that we should be shot.
Hung.
Either way, he wants us fucking dead. And I think that this is the second time now that a judge is coming from... Was this from Washington?
This was, yeah.
Yeah. We've had judges from Washington and judges from Hawaii blocking Donald Trump's travel bans.
What has this motherfucker done? Like, everything he's tried to do just gets blocked.
Nothing.
Literally.
And I have to tell you, though. We have to give claps to the people of California, the people of Washington, and the state of Hawaii for stepping up and just really going in your face and telling this dumbass, orange, fossil-faced, disgusting human being.
And New York.
No.
And reminding him that there are three branches of government
of course.
For a reason.
Yeah, and so
he doesn't understand that, though.
Claps for them, seriously.
Yeah.
Because without that, we would not have, you know, the pushback that we see. And you know, Cleve Jones put something on
Facebook
today. Yep. And he said, you know, given what's going on with the investigation today and the fact that they are actually indicting Paul Manafort for his involvement in colluding in, you know, going against...
And Gates.
America. And he said, you know, right now, the conversation is switching to, because Trump has now, Mueller officially has indicted... Manafort and his conspirators and everyone else that's going down the line.
Gates and what's the other one?
Gates.
He faces being fired.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And if that happens, you know, when you look at what Cleve Jones said, he goes like, the moment that Mueller gets fired, I don't care where you're at, who you're with, do not wait. Do not wait for direction. Go out into the streets and protest because... That is the only thing that we have right now
mm-hmm.
that is going to keep us in the right direction mm-hmm. and keep that man from destroying the rest of our world.
If he's fired, that is the moment you realize that our government is officially broken.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And if we don't stand up and say something as a people, as a United States people, as an American people, not just the LGBTQ community... If we don't stand up and say something, we're just going to have to ride a wave.
Right. Our republic is on the line at this point.
Legit.
If you look at these two people, Gates and Manafort and Papadopoulos, he was the one who...
How do you say that again?
Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos, that Greek son of a bitch.
Why does he have to be a son of a bitch?
Well, because he pled guilty.
Papadopoulos?
To lying to the FBI?
Yeah. He's a son of a bitch.
But you're talking about the Greek...
I was just kidding. I work for Greek people. I don't have a problem with Greek people. I don't have a problem with anyone. But my point is,
the
fact that if you look at Manafort...
Seteropoli.
I know, Tagamasis, which means you fucked up.
No,
so if you look at Manafort and Gates, they're facing, I believe, 12 charges. They were indicted and they're facing 12 charges. One of the charges... Conspiracy against the United States.
That's the biggest one. That's treason.
It's an absolute treason case. And if you look at them, they've surrendered their passports. Mm-hmm. So at that point, they were worried to be flighters. Like, they would just up and run and leave the country. They surrendered their passports. Manafort's under $10 million bond. $10 million, and Gates is under a $5 million bond, and they're both under house arrest.
I cannot
and
wait
these
for
were
Rachel.
People who were the very top of the Trump campaign.
Mm-hmm. Look, motherfucker, put that anklet on and say goodbye.
Bye, Felicia. I cannot wait for Rachel Maddow tonight. I'm going to be
glued. She's going to tear shit apart.
Oh, I love her. Anyway.
So, wait, real quick, before we go on break, because I feel like we're going on break soon, Chris brought up something about the impeachment commercials.
Uh-huh.
Which reminded me, did anybody see the Halloween commercial with the little boy and the little girl?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, so there was a Halloween commercial with a little boy and a little girl, and the mom took them Halloween costume shopping, and then they go home, and the little girl gets, well, I'm not going to say this, so they each get their own costumes, and you don't really see who picks what throughout the whole thing, but you know what's going on with the fucking thing. So the little boy decides he wants to be Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's
and the little girl decides that she wants to be Batman. So this brother and sister go out trick-or-treating with mom and dad, and you just see mom and dad holding each other, hoping that these kids aren't going to get, like, accosted or made fun of or not given candy. And at the end of the night, the dad comes into the room and, like, kisses them both on the head and just says, thank you for being my heroes.
Aww.
I know!
I thought that you were, like, describing, like, one Halloween of you and Amanda just going out and about.
Probably, but still. It was on TV.
That's sweet.
Awesome. No, it's cute. You know, I love what companies are doing to
break down social norms and gender identity and norms. And
we got to get that Rainbow Watch going to promote these countries. Even Prudential. I saw today Prudential when it was doing their... like a retirement commercial, like how much money do you think you need to have saved for retirement? And then people start walking and it shows them how many years they'll actually make it in with that much money. There was a gay couple. Aww. I was like, y'all's Prudential.
that was the gayest thing he's ever said on the show.
But if anybody could have seen him, it was even better because he like crossed his hand.
He did. It was like the inflection behind it was just epic.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break, guys.
An emotional weekend.
We're going to take a break. We'll play some music. We'll be right back.
To pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth. 'Cause we need to be loved. So we need to.
Said we need to be loved.
All right, welcome back, everyone, from the break. That was We Need to Be Loved by Anthony Starbell. That kid is just absolutely amazing. Super grateful that we had him on the show. And we've got more stories for you, so we are going to continue. Christopher.
I don't have any stories.
You have a story.
Do I?
You do. You should have a story.
Why don't we just, like, kick it over to Bijan to talk about the things he wants to talk about first?
You know what? Maybe we can do that. Bijan.
Save me, Bijan.
I got you. I got you, buddy.
If you're tuning in now on Digital Stream Radio, we have Bijan Clark here with us, who is our guest co-host today.
Woo!
A very, very good friend of Nick. And, you know, tell us, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, Nick invited me to talk about the theater that I work at, which is a nonprofit first-run movie theater in Ridgefield, Connecticut. It is the Prospector Theater, and our mission is to employ adults with disabilities. So it's got a great cause as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities, I feel, between the... And when I told Nick this, he got all pissed off at me, the gay community and the disabled community, mostly because they are... they can be oppressed, and they don't often, you know, you guys are very lucky to have be able to have a voice and to be able to do things like speak up when you feel like you're being oppressed. A lot of the disabled community, I find, although they do, there are definitely people who are activists. And
oh, yes, they
yes,
are.
Absolutely. But there's a good percent that, like, to me is not even capable of, like, understanding that in a way.
You know, a lot of people don't realize the Americans with Disabilities Act came about because of a group of people that were
in wheelchairs because they didn't have access to public transportation.
Yeah, or roads.
In Colorado, out of all places. Yeah. That's where it started. And, you know, they were very vocal. They were very in your face. And they do have a voice.
Yes, yes, they absolutely do. I'm definitely not saying that they don't, but that there's a good amount, there's a good percentage, I feel, that does not, you know, that is unspoken for. And I feel like what we do by meaningful employment is to really kind of liberate them, give them that voice. You know, meaningful work is so important.
It is.
And just, it really gives everyone a full life, you know, and a full... Yeah, a purpose for waking up in the morning.
Did Nick think you were implying that being LGBT meant you were disabled?
Mm-hmm, yep.
No.
I was like, oh, I already see where this is going.
I can totally understand where he says, for example.
Yes.
No, I get it.
I get it.
I'm sometimes not the best at expressing myself through text messages, so I totally understand where he misinterprets it.
Neither is Nick. She'll just send you a GIF, like, whatever.
Yeah. A GIF. Whatever. Isn't it a GIF?
A GIF. A, yeah, GIF, a GIF. A gift. Whatever.
What, did you take an Uber here?
I did an Uber.
But, so, yeah, I work there, and it's great. It's awesome.
So let's talk about this a little bit. So can you tell me what exactly the theater is doing to really... embrace this particular community in saying, okay, we want you to come work for us. Here's what we're going to do for you. Because one of the problems that I see all the time when you think about people who have some sort of impediment or who are not, you know, functioning like what other people perceive to be normal, which to me...
There's no such thing.
There is no such thing. Everybody has a very unique way of being.
Yeah. And everyone's disabled when it comes down to
it. Of course. Yeah. I mean, I'm disabled. I'm crazy. Hello. My brain just goes. But can you tell me, you know, what you're actively doing in the theater to support that community and what your program is all about?
Well, I mean, for one thing is we give them an open and fair chance. You know, I feel like it's so, excuse me. So often
she's
that,
a little gassy.
I'm not used to the dirty Shirley stuff. but you know, we take them on what their interests are, what, you know, why they want to work there, and not what their disability is. Like, so many times people have been, you know, shunned and basically not given an opportunity to work because they, you know, they'll check off that are you disabled check, yes, then it's instantly like next. And, you know, it's understandable for employers because you're taking on a lot of liability, you're taking on a lot of risk.
Of course.
But what people don't you know, people take that at face value, I feel, and employers take that at face value, where you're not seeing the amazing things and the amazing potential. And like, I've worked in a lot of places where, you know, like you're usually off at the end of the night when you're counting registers. And here at the theater, it's like we're on every single night. It's like to a T, because we've got such dedicated employees who want to do a good job, who mm-hmm. are working with people who are, you know, who really care about what they're doing, and they want to succeed, they want to grow, they want to improve. And I mean, that's really what it's all about, is giving them a fair chance and finding out what they're good at, not what they're lacking in. Call it sparkle.
Yes!
You guys would love it. You got to come over and see a show.
Trish is all the sparkle I need, but I'll take you up on that. Now, do you do work with both physically and mentally disabled people?
All the entire spectrum. So it's, you know, we have people with Down syndrome, we have people with autism, we have people with physical disabilities, mental disabilities, all different types. And what we aim to do is really, like I said, pair them at what they're good at, what they're interested at. I'm lucky because I was in there from the beginning. I'm one of the oldest employees. I think I'm the fourth hire there. So I was really able to see the entire theater grow as a whole. And one of, you know, the most rewarding experiences is seeing a young man with autism who we loved movies, would go crazy, you know, for, you know, all the reporting, and like just so passionate about it. And like, you know, we were like, yeah, you're hired for absolutely. And just how, you know, at first they wanted me to train him on the projectors, which are, you know, huge, like over $50,000 worth of equipment up there. So I'm like terrified that he's going to mess something up. I'm walking him to the booth, and the first thing he does is walk into a glass door, and I'm just like, oh God, like, this is going to end out horribly. And you know, that's where I learned about myself, where I was like, oh, I've also got to stop taking people at face value. And like, so I, you know, showed him the basics, and you know, through months, I mean, like it took a good amount of time, but I taught him how to schedule. Basically, when when the movies play, it's all scheduled. So you have to do a good amount of scheduling. And I'm there with the week schedule, a whole week of three different shows, four different theaters. It's a lot of information, and I'm looking at each showtime, making sure everything's right. And he's there just doing them right off memory, and I'm like, how are you doing that? And he's like, oh, I just remember and put it in. And I'm like, a week's worth of like movie schedules? And he's just like, yeah.
It's amazing what someone can do when you are passionate about something.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, so from that experience, I really like learned that, oh my God, like I say looking at him use the projectors now is like watching Mozart compose, just because it's incredible.
Flawless and impenetrable.
Yeah, like.
Well, I've always said, you know, even when composing music, it takes a very uniquely skilled individual. Whether, you know, the world may think that you are not to their par, it takes a very, very unique individual to compose and to be able to do such amazing work. I mean, a lot of people thought, for example, Einstein was insane. But look at all of the amazing revelations that we got from his work. And, you know, you look at people like Newton and all of their eccentricism, people...
His foibles?
Not a word.
Foibles.
Being eccentric, I'm going to say it's a word, eccentricism, right?
It's just, I get it. His next phrase is like,
the fuck you just said?
I'm just going to
Did Tom just have a stroke on Gay Talk 2.0?
I did. I don't joke about that.
It's not funny.
Anyway, no, but when you think about, you know, a lot of the people that have done many, many amazing contributions to the world, a lot of people thought that they were insane. A lot of people thought that they were just out of their mind. When you look at, for example, Michelangelo and the paintings that he was doing back in those days were just completely just like mind-blowing. And people were like, some people thought he was insane. Some people thought that he was a genius. Some people thought that, you know, he was a madman. And it's like in this world, we need to realize that we are not – at our best if we are not given a chance to express what we are truly mm-hmm. passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's what it's all about, really. And it's very rewarding, and I'm very lucky to be working.
That's
there.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's
and excellent. Also, you took the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you took the time to find out yes. what this person or these, you know, this group of people are good at and can do and can serve. And that's what's so important as well. Because like you were saying with Michelangelo, we all know that he's an amazing artist and he, you know, built random things as well. I don't really know that well. But
way to take an intelligent thought.
Like, you just have to take the time to realize people have so much to give, and that's what this organization is doing, which is beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had mentioned something about, you know, employers and how initially they're very standoffish the moment you mention that you have either a disability, whether that's mental mm-hmm. or physical. And I can vouch for that. Mm-hmm. I worked for a company before I started working for the company that I work for now. I'm not going to mention any names. But, you know, when I was part of the hiring process, you know, I was a district manager for a group of stores, and one of the questions on the application was, do you have a disability? And if so, what is that disability and what accommodations you need? And the first thing we were instructed when we would ask that question, if the answer was yes, was to stop the interview and call HR immediately. Why? Why would we need to do that? It's like you're having a conversation with an individual. You're trying to ascertain what it is that they do best. What can they positively contribute to your organization? Why do you have to immediately stop and contact HR the moment someone says, yes, I have a disability? Granted, there are liabilities that come along with hiring people who are not as described by them, able to perform the work that is required of them to the full capacity. But if you give someone a chance to do something that they're passionate about, like you said, they're able to do that. And so if we can say to any of these organizations, that needs to stop, it really does need to stop. There should be no reason why you got to contact HR the moment someone says yes. You know, just like I think, for example, that there are a lot of people out there that have may committed felonies or that unfortunately go and apply for jobs. And the moment you say, yes, I committed a felony and it happened 5 years ago, they literally shut you down. They don't give no one an opportunity to say, I have rehabilitated myself. I have paid my debt to society. Mm-hmm. And I'm not comparing felons with anyone with a disability. I'm just simply saying that these are the type of questions that come up on applications that I think should be illegal. Because if you've paid your debt to society and you want to be a contributing member of society and you want to work, and
I don't know.
That is the only thing that, seriously, I mean, I speak from personal experience because my brother's a very, very good person. I've had my differences with my brother. My brother's had his issues with the law. He moved down to Florida. He applied for a job. He got a job. They run a background check, even though he disclosed that he had a felony in the past. And then 2 weeks later, they come back at him and say, we have to let you go, even though he was doing an amazing job at whatever it was that he was doing. It's sad to see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, absolutely. And, you know, what's so great is not, you know, like that's one instance of the theater where we've been able to pair someone perfectly. But like there's lots of, you know, little things where you'll see where it's like you've worked for like 5 weeks to someone. We give speeches before the movie starts. It's a full experience. Each time you go to the theater, it's really like going out. It's not just like, I'm going to sit in a dumpy movie, but we have a full clean team that cleans the theater top to bottom. We have ushers that, you know, come out with umbrellas when it's raining to bring you in from the,
that's amazing. Yeah,
it's really taking it back to the old style of movie going where, you know, you're welcomed and you're really taking the extra time to make sure every guest is really taken care of. And but anyway, we give speeches, and you know, like you'll talk to somebody who has trouble public speaking, and you'll work for them for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, and they'll get up there and they'll maybe stutter like three words, and for the most part people will be like, oh, that was terrible, but you know, like I'll be there like, oh my god, you did it, like great job, you know.
Well, so, a lot of people don't realize the accomplishments of others because they don't also don't see the work that goes into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing something.
So, and that in itself is very, you know, it's rewarding. It's almost like greedy for me because I'm like, oh yes, like we did it. We got it. I was able to help you out, you know? So it's like,
that's awesome though.
Something you
it truly is.
Definitely.
So your theater, you said, was located in Richfield.
Yes. Yep.
So is there a website that our listeners could possibly visit to get information on what's playing and what's available on your theater?
Absolutely. www.prospectortheater.org. You can go, you can donate. We are a non-for-profit. We're a 501c3. We're actually the only first run movie. I think we're still the only first run non-profit movie theater in the country. So it's something that's really special. And we currently have 101 employees.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a lot of employees for a theater.
It is, because the community, the staff is, you know, obviously disabled. We work with their schedule. So even though it's 101 staff, we rotate a lot of people out so that they, because sometimes, you know,
that's a lot of work.
So would there be, like, for example, a situation where one person can only work 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
and another one can give you four? Yep. And so is that why you go through so many employees as far as, like, scheduling?
Yeah, yeah.
Who manages that schedule?
Yeah, our HR, they do a very, very good job of
that. Is amazing.
Doing that schedule.
What's crazy to me is if you knew Bijan in college...
You would have never thought, right?
You would have never thought. I mean, this... He couldn't find his fucking shoes in the morning. I had to give him a belt.
It's true.
A belt to wear at one point. I'm pretty sure you still have that belt.
No, I lost it, and I'm really upset about it. I don't know where it went. It's got to be somewhere, but I had it for the longest time. I think I only lost it like a year or two ago.
That was like the only belt he had probably until you met Alex.
He was just tired of looking at my ass crack is what it was. Here, take the belt.
You know what he does have, though? Great socks. I noticed those when he was talking. Yes. I'm like, those are fun. Those are fun socks. He's sticking his leg in the air.
Autumnly socks. They have a lot of...
They look like mushrooms.
They're Mario. Mario.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Mario shroom.
I'm a huge video game nerd.
I thought they were leaves. Okay.
No. But it's cool. And like all that kind of incorporates with our philosophy. Like I'm a huge video game nerd. I've got thousands upon thousands of video games in my basement, and I've got a man cave crawled out. But that's one of my passions. So a lot of what is cool about the theater is we incorporate our passions into our professions is our little motto. But so like I can bring in a video game. Like I actually bought a Bop-It. Do you know what a Bop-It
is? Yes, I love Bop-It. Yeah. I used to bring it on Fridays in my senior year of high school. I used to pass it around the entire school. Bop-It Fridays.
What the fuck is a Bop-It?
So a Bop-It is a...
Pull it.
Yeah. Twist it.
Spin it.
Yeah. Smack it.
Do. Bop it. Anyway.
Do you get to pass it?
It's a toy.
No. I want to play Bop-It now.
That's the Fleshlight Bop-It. But
Okay, I can probably play with that.
It's a great toy. And, you know, I used it as a game to improve people's reaction time and their memory and figure out like what they have to do next. And the new one's really cool. Like you like hammer it, you like saw it, you like selfie it. Yeah, you can do all these things. So like it really
sounds like a shrink. Seriously.
But I incorporated that and I used it as like, okay, well, like let's play with the Bop-It now. And like what are we learning when we play with the Bop-It? So.
That's awesome.
I'm getting a Bop-It because I don't remember what happened to mine, and we're going to play it on the show. Okay. I just have a feeling you won't do that great at it, Tom.
I probably won't. Give me rice and beans, though. I'll tear that shit up. So let me ask you a question. So you guys went to college together.
Oh, yeah.
Were you a gamer in college as well?
Yes, yeah.
What game did he play that irritated the shit out of you, Trish?
Me?
Yes.
They actually... So they played... Oh, what was it? WWE?
Yep. WrestleMania.
WrestleMania. They played the. So we lived together.
That didn't exist when I had. When I
total
had
of six of us. It was a total. It was.
Atari.
I was going to say Atari didn't even exist when you were growing up, Tom.
There was a total of six of us. There were a total of six of us, and they all played WrestleMania constantly. And they wanted me to get involved so bad. They even made me a character.
You played a couple times.
A couple fucking times, and that's about it.
And then he probably said, no, push it aside. We're going to play Mario Kart.
They would sit in the living room and just play WrestleMania constantly. Yep. Like, constantly.
What system were you talking here?
PlayStation 2.
I still play my PlayStation 2.
So yeah, no, they would just be in there playing. But it didn't really annoy me. It actually was that nice because I didn't have to deal with that.
We'd leave them alone.
Let's just say the only two game consoles that I ever played were Atari. Mm-hmm. I played Pegasus, Pac-Man, and Donkey Kong.
Yep.
And then I had the original NES where I played Super Mario Bros. 1 and 2.
Yep.
And I think, and Duck Hunt.
Oh, I love Duck Hunt.
With the gun. Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Did you cheat and go real close to the screen?
No. I was pretty good.
Nice.
I can aim.
Good. Attaboy.
I'll show you later.
So,
inappropriate.
So before we move on to like more gay stories and our gay lives and whatever, the story of our life, didn't you tell me that you and your father have created a business?
Yes. Yeah. In my spare time, I'm help my father out. My father worked as a independent toy designer in the 80s. So he made a bunch of like toys that were bought by Mattel and Four Towns and all these different toy companies. And he's recently got the rights back for some of them. So we're producing them on our own. And it's really fun. They're really cool, like 80s. You know, they're called Boglins, but they're like hand puppets. My dad also worked for the Muppets back in the 80s.
So. What?
Awesome.
Yeah. Fucking awesome.
Him and his father do a, you have a puppetry show.
Yeah.
Too.
I haven't done it in a long time. We did it probably like 5-6 years
ago. I'm sorry, but your dad is rad.
Yes, he's a very cool guy.
These puppets are like extensive. They're crazy.
Oh yeah, classic.
So if one of our listeners wanted to go check out these toys, where can they go?
So www.totims.com. That's TOTIMS.com.
TOTIMS.com. Okay. I'm on it.
Shut up.
And it's cool. We've been doing, there's a lot of like kind of nostalgia, retro, what's old is new again, people who are, you know, fine. He's huge on Instagram. So I don't know what his Instagram, I'm not even on Instagram.
Wait, your dad?
Yeah. He's got like 3,000 followers.
Your dad?
Yeah.
He's got more than us. Everybody's got more than us. I don't talk about
that. So,
these are kind of cool.
Yeah.
They look familiar.
I was going to bring you guys one, but my car's in the shop, and I had it in the car.
God damn it. Dookie needs a friend.
I'll give it to Trish next
time. No. That means you have to come back on the show and bring us gifts.
Absolutely.
He already brought us one.
These look familiar.
Yeah, if you know, you were...
You were still like a sperm.
Okay, first of all, I was not born in the 80s. Yeah. Yes.
My point, you were still a sperm.
But I had siblings that were born in the 80s.
He was still a sperm in someone's balls, but yes.
So yeah, we're making them, and you know, it's been fun. It's cool. He's been showing me how you make them, and each one is handmade by us, and
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I burned the shit out of my finger the other day. It was terrible.
Sounds like something Chris would do.
It does. I would check these out, people, because this is really cool. Again, TOTIMS.com. Check it out.
So what does a wife say about making these toys? Has she had the opportunity to play with them?
She knew what she was marrying.
Yeah, she knew what she was getting into. Yeah. No, she's great. She's very supportive. She loves spending time with me, which I love. So sometimes she'll be like, "Why are you going over there again?" And I'm like, "I have to help my dad." Like,
and you're coming with
me. Yeah. So
has she helped in making any?
Not really.
Yeah,
she usually goes out, right? And hangs out with mom, and you know they.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Do whatever mothers do. And
so yeah. So how freshly married are you guys?
Just July.
Just
over the summer. Oh, so yeah, that's like there. Literally like what, 5 months?
I went to Colorado, came back. The next day I went to his wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And to the
Thank
missus.
You.
You have an amazing man. He does a lot of good work. And definitely, you know, there's nothing better than to be able to look back at what your family has done, especially your dad, and say, okay, you know what? Let's take this over. How did you manage, first of all, how did dad manage to get the rights back from a company like Mattel?
Well, it was written in. So when he initially penned on the contract, it was written that after a certain amount of time, the rights go back to the original creators. So
that's amazing.
It was just about, yeah, luckily he had a good lawyer, I guess. I don't know.
Well, your dad is.
I was just like, let's make him,
cookie.
Dad. If they want him, let's make him.
Something's wrong with that Irish man. He's smart.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just simply saying that a lot of Irishmen drink. I know a lot of them. I do.
I'm Irish.
I used to date one. You're Irish by injection.
He doesn't drink at all, believe it or not.
Really. I've heard it about me.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know. He's only. He drinks like he'll have a beer at dinner and then, like, that's it. I don't think he's ever been
Does he
drunk.
Smoke pot?
Nope. He hates pot. It's weird.
Really? How old is that?
Because pot's great.
I know, and he was a huge hippie back in the day. Like, if you looked at his high school pictures, like, long hair, like, beard. He was, like, all anti-Vietnam, you know, like, super hippie, and didn't smoke pot at all.
High on life.
That's awesome.
I almost wish he'd have chilled him out a little.
You know? Oh. how old is that?
He's 66 now?
No, 67? Bless his heart. Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, and he's still passionate about his toys and all that good stuff. That's great. I mean, seriously, I think that, you know, when you do what you love, you go far in life. There's just no way.
Hey, look, I work in theater.
You do what you love, but you're just bitchy. That's
no, I know what it's like, too. Sometimes, you know, you get very rewarded, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm going to kill some of you motherfuckers.
Well, hello. I feel that way sometimes, too. You know, I felt that way certainly a lot in my previous employment. And
where'd you work? Mar-a-Lago, right?
I did. Hashtag not my president. Happy hashtag Mueller Monday, everyone.
Woo. Yes.
Seriously. So anyway, so we've still got some stories. Bishan, thank you. Yep. That was
seriously
amazing. I want to check out that website. Send me the link.
Okay.
Can you repeat that one more time for our listeners?
I deleted it. All right. Closed out. www.totims.com.
Yeah,
it's like T-O-T-I-M-S.
We'll throw all that stuff up on
it. Check it out. It's cool stuff. Cool stuff.
All right. So, Christopher, do you have anything for us? No.
Well, I did see earlier that West Australia is going to be the next nation to, or not nation,
nation
but state. The next state to, what's the word, apologize for criminalize, like for the people that were affected from when homosexuality was criminalized, and they're going to pardon those people that, you know, are no longer alive or were charged with homosexuality or homosexual acts. They're going to openly apologize and pardon any people on that list.
That's
just something I saw earlier today, real quick, fast. I don't have any other stories.
Do we have an update on where we are in Australia with regards to the ballot initiative?
Nothing as of last week.
We are not going to find anything out until the 1st of November. So we should be finding stuff out soon.
Because I know that November 15th was the last day. That's the end of whatever it is that their initiative that they're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to know. I want to know where we stand. Because
well, last week, remember, the LGBT community was looking. It was promising. They were saying that for the majority of people that have already voted thus far, that it's leaning in the favor of a yes vote.
I hope so, seriously, because you know what? We need more nations in the world to embrace our community. And you know, we have a lot to offer. No matter where we are, where we stand, what we do, as a community, we have a lot to offer. And don't fight us, because when you piss us off, we come for you. We do. I mean, when you think about marriage equality here in this country, it's like, you know, when you said we couldn't in 2015, we shut you the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
We came back and said, yes, we can.
I have it right here. So I want to say, yeah, Western Australia is the latest state to come forward to officially apologize to those convicted under former laws criminalizing homosexual activities in the state.
All right. Well, Chris and Ben from Australia, we want some updates. Send us some information and let us know what's going on the ground, that you're there.
As of 20 days ago, 62.5% of the electoral roll had, well, I guess, I don't want to say voted.
I have it right here. Did you
that
look in the notes from
days
last
ago.
Week?
I want it as of yesterday.
No, not.
I have, from last week, it was a recent news poll states the vote for legalizing same-sex marriage are commanding a substantial lead in the ongoing postal survey. The Guardian reports 59% to 38%.
Well, it's up to 61%.
Now. So it's gone up even more. Yes. 65% have already voted as of last week. 65% people have already voted. 19% say they will definitely vote. And 6% say they will probably vote before the conclusion of the survey.
Well, that's super exciting.
It is. I can't wait until this is finally behind us. Not that, you know, I just want a positive outcome for our brothers and sisters in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I mean, obviously we all do. So
I'm excited.
It'll be nice to have another nation going along the route of Ireland. Well, just in general, legalizing same-sex marriage, but going along the route of Ireland where they said, we, on a popular vote level, all agree that this is should be on the books. This should be law. Everyone should be able to love who they want and be with who they want. And Ireland did that. The only nation on the planet to vote on a popular level to legalize marriage equality.
If we voted on a popular level, we'd have Hillary, motherfucker. Hello?
We sure would.
And we would have had not George Bush. W.
No, we would have had who's
Al Gore.
Al Gore. Yeah.
He won in the popular vote.
So I have an amazing funny. It's not funny. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. I have an amazing, heartwarming story for everyone. I'm a dog lover. Everybody loves Lubbies. Knows that. Well, until they piss me off and pee all over my floor, then I'm.
She gets nasty with those dogs sometimes. Oh. It's terrifying.
No, I'm kidding. No. My dogs are my life to me. And so I was going through and reading news, and I saw a report on USA Today, and it was talking about a dog that was found alive amidst the rubble after the wildfires that destroyed the homes and people's lives in California. So amid all those raging wildfires that killed dozens of people and ravaged many communities, there was a couple that had a home. They evacuated their Santa Rosa home, and they went back. They tracked, I believe it was like 4 or 5 miles through this charred community to go and see what was left of their home and to see what was there. And they had thought that they feared that their pooch, Izzy, a 9-year-old Burmese mountain dog, had perished.
Oh.
Which is what they thought. And so they're walking out, they're going, they're hiking, they hike the 5 miles, they get to the front gates, and they're walking up the driveway, and out of the rubble, just laying down on the floor, comes up this amazing, beautiful beast of a dog, and he just got so happy and so like giddy and lucky, and they found Izzy alive.
Wow. That's awesome.
They did.
And I love Bernese Mountain dogs.
Literally two and a half days after they had evacuated, they come back and they find this dog to be alive, and they were extremely happy. Anyway, the whole thing got caught on video. You can watch them hiking up the mountain and going up the roads that were seeing all these burnt homes, and in the midst of all that destruction, out comes this amazing, beautiful animal. And I'm super happy because, like I said, I'm a dog lover. I love my puppies, and if something were to ever happen to my babies, I think I would fucking die. So, I mean, I'm so anal. I have
I've tried to get rid of them. It hasn't happened.
Yeah, no, I'm not. How would I say, advertising for them, but I have the Nest cameras in the house. I have the Nest, the fire detectors.
Yeah, I know. When I watched your house, you were watching me too. It was semi-awkward.
Yeah, it was amazing. No, but
that's how I always got caught pouring shots at the old place.
This show almost didn't happen today. I had a power outage last night at 10 p.m. at night, and by 11 this morning, we still didn't have power. And I couldn't see my dogs, and I didn't know what the status of my fire alarms were on my phone, and I was freaking the fuck out. I was sitting at like work just like going bananas. So I took my lunch, and I drove home, and I got home, and finally I realized I have power, the fire alarms are okay, my babies are okay, I'm good, and I could go back home to work and finish my day. You know, so
otherwise we'd be broadcasting from York Street.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah, we almost didn't have power. So I can feel the sense of relief for this family to find their amazing child alive. I would have been freaking crying hysterically, jumping for joy, hugging him, kissing him. I would have been bananas. But that's an amazing story.
That's a Disney movie right there.
Yes, it is.
That is
fucking
Pixar.
Bound.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Did anybody ever see Milo Notice?
Yes.
Oh,
no, man. They really threw dogs and cats over. They killed so many. That's a really like... Oh, the Japanese one, the original, not the new one.
Okay, what the fuck are you talking about?
So that movie is a remake. Of
what, Homeward Bound?
No, Milo Notice. It's a remake.
With the little pug.
And the cat. Right? They go on the adventure. Uh-huh. The original is a Japanese movie, and the Japanese filmmakers, there's one part where the cat jumps off of a waterfall, and they literally threw the cat off the waterfall.
No. I would have killed someone.
Yep. It was before, but it was before you had, you know, animal rights and you had to check off on everything. It was, get another cat and throw it off the
waterfall. But the remake was safe, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
So everybody can watch Milo and Otis.
Yeah, Disney would not let that shit happen.
No, but let's go the Homeward Bound route. Remember when we thought Shadow wasn't going to come back? But Shadow came back. I cried so hard every time I watched it.
You need to stop thinking about Homeward Bound right now.
Shadow, Chance, and Sassy. I love all three of you.
Who would have I been? Sassy!
Yeah, exactly. We know. You've been the fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
I'm going to... Yes.
He's got the knife. We're fighting today.
So I'm obviously done with animals, as the rest of us are. So we're going to talk about some gay visibility. How about that? Mm-hmm. Hello.
We can do gay visibility.
Wait, can I chim in? Can
yes.
I chim in?
Chim in. Yes.
Are we going to talk about Spacey?
No, but if you want to talk about Spacey, we can do that too.
I think that we should.
Yeah, you totally should.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Right. Messed up what he did.
Well, you started then. You took it.
Breaking news today. Just saw my news feed. Kevin Spacey, who has been allegedly
accused.
Thank you. Of molesting Anthony Rapp, right? Mm-hmm. As a child.
At the time,
as
he
a minor,
was 14 and
14,
Kevin Spacey
a child.
Was 26.
Yeah.
Sexual assault.
Sexual assault.
Not molesting.
It's not all the same.
Whatever it was.
Potato, potato.
He apparently came out on, I think it was Twitter.
Well, he ended up coming out first, and then after he came out...
No, he
that was his platform.
He addressed the issue and said
the scandal issue, right?
Maybe I did it. I don't really remember.
He said he was drunk.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm gay.
He tried using coming out as we were talking about this earlier, and I totally agree with you, and I'm super pissed about this. But tell us why you're upset. Mind you.
Well, yeah. I'm a total straight hetero guy.
I need to remind our listeners.
There was that one time in college. That one time.
Well, don't talk about that, Trish. Do not out people. That's not nice.
Although, I got to say, I think everything is spectrum, right? I think our disability is a spectrum. I think... your sexuality is a spectrum as well.
Oh, wifey,
there's
you're listening, cover your ears.
Kinsey scale.
Don't worry, baby. I'm on that far right side.
It only happened
as
once.
As long as it's not the Republican far right side, you can go on any right side you want.
But I love it when people disagree with me about that, too, because I'm like, do you think your own penis is disgusting? Do you? And they're like, no, it's beautiful. And I'm like, then you're a little gay.
Like, you like a dick. You just said it.
I'll take it.
You touch that motherfucker every day. Hello?
No, but again, I want to remind my listeners, our listeners, excuse me.
All four of them.
All four
I was like, this
them.
Bitch
all
is claiming
no,
her
three.
Show.
We lost one. We lost one. That this is coming from a straight man. Go.
So anyway, I thought it was very ridiculous. And to me, it was a blatant cover up. He was trying to cover up what he may or may not have done by saying, oh, and by the way, I'm gay, you know, like after all this time, it's like, why?
He pulled the
why
Trump.
Would you?
Deflection.
I don't know. And, you know, that's something I cannot, you know, understand is what it would feel, you know. Nick posted that awesome video, which was like, oh man, I'm just like a man crying here watching this video of, you know.
The mom.
Yeah. And it just because it was, you know, it was a great video. But anyway. But to use that venue to come out to me it made no sense at all.
No.
To me, it was like, you're insulting that community.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's equating gay and putting
child
it with
molester.
Pedophilia.
Yeah. Like, why would
absolutely
you
absolutely inappropriate.
Two
I got to grab something really quick. Hold on, everybody.
When you think about what's going on with... Oh, are you grabbing that?
No, I'm grabbing my soapbox. So, dear Kevin Spacey...
I was like, what is he doing? Yes,
I'm now on my soapbox. Dear Kevin Spacey, you're
watch
a fucking asshole.
You just said
I don't
one.
Give a flying fuck.
You just said
you're
two.
You're a fucking asshole.
Hans
because you know what? You know what? Coming out, it's not about it's about embracing who you are and embracing your community and being a strong, independent individual and knowing who you are. And it is tough and it's hard. And the fact that you just came out and threw our entire community under the bus with molestation and rape, that's fucking bullshit. this is the only time that I'm going to say this, but Kevin Spacey, we don't want you. Go back in the fucking closet. Go back in the closet. Everybody else, be visible and strong. But you, sir, go back in the fucking closet. Thank you.
Goodbye.
House of Cards is getting canceled, too. This is the last season that's coming out.
But you know what pissed me off is on my timeline, people were more upset that House of Cards was being canceled.
Than about
and I was
what?
Like...
like, do you understand anything that just happened? Like, that's not what the news line is.
Did we not read the same article?
Yeah, right?
Exactly. When you think about what happened, for example, what's going on surrounding the controversy between Harvey Weinstein,
yep. mm-hmm.
and you know all these other allegations that are coming out with other top executives at movie theaters, etc.
Disgusting.
Why would you even decide to even address it in that manner? And
he was trying to cover his ass, and it does that. It's not
exactly. There's no covering. There's no covering up. I will say this: that you know, unfortunately, in some states, 14, even 13, is age of consent. That is left for the courts. It's sad. It because, you know, when I think about my nephew is 17, 18 years old now. I have a niece that's 15. You know, the thought of someone touching them bothers me.
And what happened was with him, he, Rap was the kid's name. Yeah, well, he's not a kid anymore. This is like 86. No, it was like 1986. They were at a party. He invited him to the party, and Rap at this time was, you know, a child actor, so he was used to hanging out with much older people, mm-hmm. always being with adults. And he was at the party, and he got bored and went into the bedroom, and it turned out that everyone had already left, and it was just him and Spacey. And Spacey had picked him up like a groom would his bride on a wedding day, twirled around, and then pushed him on the bed and got on top of him.
And laid on him.
Mm-hmm.
And if that wasn't consensual, then you know what?
Well, that doesn't sound consensual. And it's exactly like you're saying. You know, you have a cousin, or not a cousin, a nephew, and you wouldn't want to think someone of his age.
It irks me, and it just pissed me off when I read his statement, when I read the statement that was released saying that, you know, oh, you know, I was drunk, I don't remember, I don't recall, and I'm just coming out, and I'm dealing with all this. Do not, as you said, use the coming out and being in your truth as a means to cover up the fucked up shit that you've done.
That is what pisses me off about him coming out on top of all this is that's something so special. That is something that you can't take that and make it something negative. It's something that you have worked and waited to do in your life. It's so hard to say those words, and it's scary to say those words. And the fact that he would do that in such a negative way is just shameful. Honestly, it's just fucking shameful.
It is. And that's his loss. That's his loss.
Really, well, it's the entire community's loss, really, because he just fucking increased the stigma of what people that are bigoted think.
Sexual deviants. Well,
and plus, he didn't deny it. He was like, man, I might have.
Yeah, like, that's exactly. He did it by saying he didn't remember it, but admitting fault is exactly what it was.
It would be literally suicide to deny what is alleged, given what's going on with Harvey Weinstein and every other executive. Bill Cosby and all these other people that are being, you know, brought to life for what they did to these people. And you
know, most cases, women, but I think it's important to know.
And that's NPR. Yeah. When I was on my way here today, they were saying that all these women are coming out, but people forget that, men can be in the same situation too, especially when it comes to people with power and money. Yeah. They can be manipulated.
What's really crazy is, I don't know if I should bring this up on the show, but I'm going to anyway.
Of course.
I will. I have friends who are, what is the movement? I'm her, or hashtag...
Oh,
with me or
me too.
Me too. Thank you. Hashtag me too. And there are Facebook groups that have been started internationally with groups of women that are all connecting and having these conversations in these groups. And they are saying what is going on, what has happened to them. And then people are corroborating those stories. So it's crazy, but I think that this movement, Me Too, is actually going to make a huge difference. Should. And I'm so proud of all the women that are standing up and doing this.
And that's women speaking out who are affected by sexual assault.
Yes, who are assaulted sexually. But you know what? I don't think it should be just women, because like we were talking about, there are plenty of men who have also been assaulted. And it's something that is universal, and it's universally wrong. And that movement should be, you know, including both all sexes, really.
Agreed. I do agree with you.
I will say this. I can, from personal experience, say and speak hashtag me too.
Yeah, me three. That's what I said, me three on mine, because that was my way of saying it. And people yelled at me, like, stop putting down that movement, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, take it easy, people. Yeah.
So, sorry. You know,
in my past, in my youth, was sexually assaulted by a bar owner in the city of New Haven.
What age were you? And what year was
just it? Just young enough. And that's all I'm going to say. It's something that was very disturbing, but I'm a very strong person, and I was able to remove myself from that situation very quickly because I'm just that resourceful with myself, and I know where I stand in my truth and who I am and what I do want and what I don't. And when I don't want someone touching me, you're not going to touch me. I will fucking break your fingers if I have to.
Hispanics are crazy.
But it does. And it has happened. And I'm sure it happened to a lot of other people. You know, I'm sure that boat saw a lot of action. But anyway, all I can say is this. You know, you have the power to say no. And if someone is taking that away from you, you need to do what you can to bring that to light. And don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It is not your fault. You did nothing wrong. You live in your truth and you be you. And fuck them.
Yeah,
fuck them.
I couldn't agree with you more. And use that, you know, like... use that, what happened to you, use that fire to do good with.
Exactly.
You know?
And take the negative shit that's happened in your life and flip it and use it for positive. And I know that that's hard. Believe me, I've been through it.
Yep.
It's hard to take that negative crap that puts you in a dark place and flip it and make it positive. But there is always a silver lining, and there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. You just need to have patience to wait and look for it.
You know what my silver lining is, I think, behind all of this, is that today I give two shits and two fucks about what you think or what you thought when you did what you did. And today I can come on a show like this and be with my friends and sit down and talk about my experiences and my life and throw it out there for the world to see and to know and empower someone in saying, it, you know what? I have the power to change my life and be who I want to be.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
You know, and I may joke around and swear and, you know, throw a little curse word here and there and talk about dicks and cocks. You know, hello, we're gay men.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love them? But only love them when they're welcomed.
Yeah.
If I want your dick, I'm going to get your dick. If I don't want your dick, you're not going to put it on me. I will chop that shit off. I will cut it off. I will do a Lorena Bobbitt on you. And trust me, they will not find your penis.
Well, anyway, I was going to talk about my silver lining, but
so
I'm not going to.
So let's talk about your silver lining, because I know you still want to anyway. You're Trish. You have to.
All right. Well, I guess. Well, it's not about sexual assault, though. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So we all know on the show, I've talked about Matt passing away, my college boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the hardest time of my life. And I think, you know, no matter, I want to reiterate that there is a silver lining, because I know what I said could be construed very different ways, but I lost somebody that I truly cared about. And looking back, as much as I would want Matt to be alive, I don't think I would ever change a thing, because it brought me to where I am today. It brought me to this studio. It brought me to sitting in this chair. It brought me to meeting all of you. And it built my life to where it is today. And that moment changed my entire trajectory. And I love it. I love my life. I miss Matt. I'll always miss Matt, but I love my life. And he gave me that. It was like a gift from him.
And so, you know what? Not many people can say that they can take a gift from the loss of someone.
It took a long time to figure that fucking out.
But it's,
I remember. I was with him.
what was, and being, I mean, we're speaking about it, might as well talk about it from your perspective. What was that like for you?
Oh, God.
Well, I actually knew Matt before he started dating Nick.
Yeah.
Matt was my roommate before mm-hmm. he even knew Nick.
Yeah,
and then
before we met each other.
When they started dating, I was like, oh, Lord.
Trouble.
But Nick's totally right. And I think, you know, I was lucky enough to have a little bit of Matt in my life as well. And I think he would be in 100% agreeance with you.
Can you tell me what one thing that you took away from Matt in his life?
I don't know if it was a thing or it was like a moment.
Whatever it was that impacted you to the point where you can recall that at the drop of a dime.
Well, when I lived with Matt, we didn't really know each other too well. And like, he was always very, very distant. So like, I'm not the type of person who's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, hey, what's going on? What's going on? How are you doing? Like, I was like, okay, he's doing his thing. He's doing his thing. And then one night he was like, hey, I got a bottle of vodka. You want to kill it with me? And I was like, hell yeah, I want to kill it with you. we just got like tanked and like hung out in like a hallway and just like shot the shit and like got to know each other. And like, unfortunately, it was like the end of our, like, it was like the very last bit of like our dorming together. I was moving in with someone else and he was moving in with someone else. But like, we got to share that moment of like just kicking back and chilling and talking and hanging out. And to me, that was like, you know, no matter what, I think what I learned from him is like, we all are universally connected no matter what. And we are all humans on this crazy spaceship Earth. So like,
we are,
you have to give as much as you expect to receive, and you have to, you know, treat each other as you would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm. That is the truth.
That's probably what I took from him.
You know, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, MJC.
It's a beautiful thing, though.
Can I flip this switch? I want to make this a little light. We are dark right now.
No, listen, we can do whatever you want.
We went deep, baby.
Right, so, I'm good. So, I'm having so much fun, I don't even care that we've been like past the 1.5 hour mark.
I was going to say, we're pushing an hour 45. Right.
So I'm going to end this with this story, and I won't talk anymore after, well, that's a lie, but
I was
after
like,
this.
Bullshit.
So we talked about the negative visibility of Kevin Spacey, go back in the closet. We're going to talk about the positive visibility of politician Brian Sims. So, the Pennsylvania legislator recently featured his partner in a new campaign.
That's amazing.
So, what's important?
It's the first campaign that we've seen in a political arena that's done this
in the United States.
What's important to note about this situation is he went against everything that everybody tells you to do. They tell you if you are a homosexual individual running for office that you don't want to have your partner or your boyfriend in the limelight. You don't want the people to see that because they're going to equate somebody as the woman, somebody as the man. There's going to just be so many demographics. You don't want to deal with it. But anyway, so he decided finally that he wanted to bring what? What's so funny?
That bundo.
I know.
What Bondo?
The man bow. The man bun.
Not Bondo, bun though.
Oh, but he's adorable.
He is adorbs. Are you kidding me? He's gorgeous.
Totes adorbs.
But anyway, so shut the fuck up, both of you. So Brian said before I ran for office.
Tally it up.
Before I ran for office, among the prevailing advice I often heard about LGBT candidates is that they should be avoiding including their spouses in campaign literature. The exact phrasing may have varied a bit, but in the end, it was a form of your partner is great, but don't put same-sex couple photos on campaign literature or you'll alienate your voters.
Fuck her.
So, finally, after I believe he's been in office for 4 years, he went out. And
what
he,
office?
He's a legislator. I don't know exactly what office.
I believe he's a state legislator.
Oh, yeah, he is.
We actually mentioned him like...
We've mentioned him a couple times.
9 months ago in one of our episodes, we talked about him.
Because he's fucking hot.
He's a hot daddy.
I follow him on Facebook. I mean, on Instagram.
Of course you do.
I follow him on
What's Facebook. Our Instagram?
Gay Talk 2.0. Right?
Yeah, follow us, bitches.
No, that's right. All right, so he also said public displays of same-sex affection aren't just important for politicians any queer couple walking down the street is still performing a quietly courageous act. One that is not just shoving our lifestyles in people's faces. We're handholders, Sims says of himself and McMullen. When they first started dating 3 years ago, Sims admits that they partly did... Can you stop? They partly did that to make it clear they weren't straight. But now, it's a way to show people we have a romantic life that we're proud of. So it's so important that this politician came out and said these things because, like I always say, being visible is so important. And holding hands, just being yourself and walking down the street as a gay couple is hard in a lot of situations. But the fact that this man with this platform in this position did it shows the world, shows the United States at least, that we're moving forward. We're still moving forward, even though it feels like we're moving back, we're still moving forward, and we still need to be strong and out and proud. And so I just wanted to thank Sims for coming out and having that campaign go out.
And he needs to get claps.
Yes.
He's amazing. I mean, the guy's amazing. Thank you for your visibility. You know, he truly puts his life out there. He's running for public office, and he understands how that is going to affect how private most of us want to at times be.
Well, we keep talking about we need to get more LGBTQ people into office.
Oh, and it's happening.
And that's true. But beyond that, what he's doing is a step beyond that, because not only is he in office, but now he's being visible for the community.
Absolutely. Which is absolutely amazing.
So
that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
All right. So I know that we're going to probably need to wrap this up sooner than later. We've still got two things that we need to talk about.
What else?
The first thing that we're going to talk about is, first of all, our Gay Talk term, which is brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really. It's brought to you by Bijan Clark. Thank you very much, because he's actually going to read our term today.
Bijan, where is it brought to you by?
UnicornBooty.com.
All right. So
I liked it when you did this. Unicorn Booty. Unicorn Booty.
UnicornBooty.com.
All right. Today's Gay Talk term is Ramona Rottencrotch. A Ramona Rottencrotch is an unsanitary man in need of drastic hygienic measures. Before the garbage man haul him off. One who smells terrible. Put a little soul music. Put on a little soul music, Ramona Rottencrotch, like the Requiem Mass.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. All right. So I just need to I need to remind people that most of these Gay Talk terms comes from the book called Gay Talk, which is written by Bruce Rogers. If you guys want to check out that book, Nick actually bought it online. It's fucking amazing. Yeah, it's got a lot of terms in it. There's a lot of questionable terms in there, but you know what?
Racist.
It's clearly you just got to remember
that the whole purpose of the actual author was to just highlight the gay lingo and terms that were used throughout the decades.
The fact that they actually published this is crazy.
I know, right? So, like, you know, who funded this?
Like, seriously, sometimes we look at some of them, we're like, yeah, no, we can't talk about that on the show.
What was last week's Pussy Itches or something? Yeah. My Pussy Itches? I don't remember, but that one.
This was copyrighted in 1972.
So it just goes to show you that, you know, we've come a long way since 1972. Both of these were, like, not even sperm in someone's balls yet. But anyway, so now we've got one more thing we got to talk about, and that is on this day in gay history, Christopher.
I loved this one when I checked it out today.
So tell us about it.
On this gay... Ah, damn it. I fucked it up already. On this day in gay history...
Brought to you...
By UnicornBooty.com.
I love how into it you are. I love it. In October 30th, 1944, in Washington, D.C., the premiere of Appalachian Spring by the godfather of American music, Aaron Copland. It is one of the great masterpieces of gay composer Aaron Copland. He had written it while with his partner Victor Kraft at their cabin in New Jersey. And I highly recommend that you guys listen to it. Again, it's Appalachian Spring, Aaron Copland. It's a beautiful piece. And especially at that point, it's so important. I mean, October 30th, 1944. We're
still going through
World War II.
World War II.
We had just gotten through, you know, we had finally retaken mainland Europe. We had moved in past D-Day. And at that point, we're October 30th. We're approaching the Battle of the Bulge, the last major offensive on the European front. And Americans needed that spirit. And this piece is an absolutely beautiful piece. And it's really true to the American spirit. So again, I very much recommend Appalachian Spring by Aaron Copland.
That's awesome.
I love him. And I didn't know he was gay until today.
So can you,
I learned can you something.
Quickly tell us about that.
What?
You found out he was gay today. How did you find out?
From the Quist. Is that the
app that we
use? Quist, yeah. Oh, I'm the same gay history. I had no idea that Aaron Copland was gay. And I also learned that Samuel Barber is also another gay composer. So I'm finding out that a lot of composers are gay.
I'm telling you, only the gift to get the gift. Like Trish.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. She's
all right.
Super
well,
gifted.
We've got some announcements, ladies and gentlemen. If you love the show, you can help us in one of three ways to let others know about the show to ensure it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. You can subscribe to the show by doing so. You get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app, on Google Play Music, or for Android listeners, you can do that on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, Podbean, or any other favorite podcasting app that exists out there in the podcasting world. You can support us on Patreon. With Patreon, you, our listener, can help to support the show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Christopher?
Yes, and next week we kick off our Transgender Awareness Month. Yes, claps. Woo! With Allison Fox Hale, a transgender female with an extensive background, including working with the Army Reserves in the National Guard. We're very excited for her to come on and share a story with our listeners.
I cannot wait.
Yes!
Chris! Nick!
And thank Almost. You, thank you, thank you.
Three times.
To our guest, Bijan Clark.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Fantastic, amazing work. So claps for Bijan.
Bijan, do you want to plug yourself at all?
Yes.
Yourself or your work?
Just check out, you know, prospectortheater.org and www.totems.com. And, you know, hey, if you want to send me a Facebook request, I'm Bijan Clark, B-I-J-H-A-N-C-L-A-R-K-E. What up, people? Thank you, guys. Love
that's
Gay Talk.
Right. I totally think I should do that. We should be friends on Facebook.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. All right. Well, Christopher?
Can we put a fucking rubber on this episode?
Yes.
Oh,
take
my God.
We've got a straight man in the house, so we need three rubbers. He's married.
I'm just going to go ahead and get this moving. All righty, guys. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces. Yes. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can also email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser. Here you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit questions for the cast. You can submit questions for an individual host. Why are you laughing?
Suggestions.
Anyway, you can also leave a question via voice message.
Can you leave a suggestion?
A suggestion.
Okay, I'm
you
sorry.
Can answer or excuse me, we can answer your question on the show. All you need to do is just call 334-GAY-TALK. If you need those digits, they are 334-429-8255. Please don't forget that we stream live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. ish Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. It has been a pleasure, ladies and night. Ladies and knights. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you and have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.